Gucci who?
Gucci who? Gucci Mane.
Welcome to Working Title FC. I am Paolo, that is Senzo, and I got a secret to tell anyone listening to this.
Go ahead.
I've been told that if you're listening to this, your mom subscribes to this podcast.
That's correct. That's true for all values of X. You remember that in math.
You know what I mean? So if your mom subscribes, why aren't you subscribing?
Exactly. And you moms know best.
Moms know best. This is, I like to think we're a bit of a housewife's favorite.
Do not a favorite. Your shirt is box office.
So listen, here's one of the things, right? We made a call on Working Title. Do we go video? We'd love to go video. But of course, I don't know if we'd love to go video. It sounds like a lot of work. We've been there. We've been there. We have been there. But I couldn't wear a shirt like this on video.
Why not?
Oh man, you can't wear multiple colors on.
Oh yeah, you
on
can't. Video. You can't. Yeah. Oh, bro,
it's just what a nightmare. Bro.
Yes, it's the lighting and everything.
My shirt is it's every character in The Simpsons.
It's everybody from Springfield.
Yeah, multiple times. It's like the first time I wore this, we played a drinking game.
Oh no!
Every time you spotted a new Homer, you had to have a shot. Hey,
that's dangerous.
Shout out. Listen, welcome. This is Working Title FC. It is your mom's favorite podcast. She does subscribe, so you subscribe as well.
You're better.
We do this for you guys. We don't do it for us. I mean, Senzo and I could talk about sports to each other all day.
Till the sun comes home.
Yeah, but
also the sun comes down, sorry, and goes
both,
back up.
Both. Even like if you're in Sweden, if you got 6 months of sun and 6 months of winter.
Trust me, we'll be there.
We'll do that. And if you're new, you've discovered us on iol.co.za. Welcome. If you're an old listener and want somebody to listen to this, you just tell them, hey, listen, go to iol.co.za, go into search podcast, Working Title FC, will pop up and listen. Hot off the press, dude. Hot off the press. We are a finalist in the South African Podcast Awards.
Yay, yay.
Best sports podcast. So hold thumbs for your boys. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do all the things. You know, we won the African Podcast Best Sports Podcast of the year.
Exactly.
So you are, as a listener, making good choices.
Yeah, right.
You're listening to a high-quality show, and this week we are back in league action from the international break.
Jeez, like.
We got the five-a-side where we each bring five stories from the world of football. We talk documentaries. We're going NBA documentary this week.
Yeah.
Goat Farm prompted last week. Could it be a Portuguese never man, almost man, is in the Goat Farm. And then we go to Senzo's non-football story of the week. This is Working Title FC. Right, so five aside. We got 10 stories from the world of football all over the place. Got to start with the story effect. So many people being all over the place the past 2 days. Thomas Tuchel is England coach. English football have to have a meister, a coaching
that
meister.
That must hurt them.
What do you even do?
That must hurt them.
Do you think? I mean, it's quite jingoistic, and I think it's... Listen, it's the guys who voted for Brexit.
Yeah.
Those are the guys upset most by it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think any reasonable... Like, Portugal's got a Spanish coach. We've had Brazilian coaches.
Yeah.
Belgium's got an Italian coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so England, and it's not like he's their first foreign coach. You know,
Sven
Capello.
Capello, yes.
Has been so funny. I mean, like watching guys like Danny Murphy, who's an absolute idiot.
How many caps did he have for England?
All under Sven. He had caps, and they were all under Sven. And he's out there going, we shouldn't have a foreign manager. Jamie Carragher as well also used to get caps under Sven and Capello. Dude.
Try getting the starting lineup.
Guys. Just pull it out. Listen, Tuchel, one thing I'm happy for. Listen, it's only 18 months. Okay.
Yeah,
so
starting
in January right to the end of the World Cup, will they come back as champions? Hopefully not. But I think the great thing for United's fans is it takes Tuchel off the table for us.
Yeah.
Tuchel off the table.
Tuchel with him.
And listen, it kind of makes sense though. If you're looking around, and I know England, they wanted to have a... Of course, they wanted an English coach, but who are your options? And all the options are complicated.
Nobody, nobody, and nobody.
You know, Eddie Howe, you're not getting him out of Newcastle. It's complicated.
Yeah.
You know, a Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, right? The guy hasn't worked in a year more. You know?
Yeah, true that.
So
give us a big sample.
Oh, man. Did he? He coached one friendly.
I think he didn't even coach the game.
I don't think he coached the game. So listen, the English options are like we're really short in short supply. And Tuchel is a Champions League winning coach. He went into PSG and handled those egos. He is at Bayern Munich. Okay, won the league because Dortmund threw it away, but he still managed FC Hollywood.
Yeah.
England's not full of egos like it used to be.
Yeah. No, I think now they try to get along for the betterment of the country.
His problem is going to be the press.
Oh, they're going to chew.
Oh, man. His problem is going to be the press, and he is a prickly guy.
He must wear a suit.
He's got to wear a suit because he's a tracksuit guy.
Yeah, he must wear a suit.
No, I think, what's your feeling, international managers? If suit in qualifiers. Now, when you go to a tournament, it's normally summer. You can't wear a suit. I mean, you look ridiculous.
But Hugo Bruce doesn't wear a suit.
No, you see, you got an international manager. You see, Hugo Bruce, it's African qualifying.
Yeah.
It's hot, it's sticky, you got to be ready to run. You never know when the police are going to come and
he's European,
start beating your players, you know. So I can forgive that. European coaches, I think you got to wear a suit in the qualifiers because it's winter, it's raining, you got to, you know, or weather. I see like Craig Bellamy of Wales. He's kind of looking like a tech bro.
Yeah.
But bomber jackets, white sneakers.
I mean, Luis Felipe Scolari. Scolari never wore a suit.
He's got a World Cup. So how
who am I to chat?
How do you fight with Filipao?
And who else? Mario Zagallo never wore a suit.
No, Arrigo Sacchi also when he's Italy coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but you see that's in tournament play. Maybe in tournament you got to wear a tracksuit. Because I think it looks ridiculous when you know, like when they show the temperature before a game. And it's like 35 degrees with 100%.
It's diabolical.
Like Roberto Martinez. I was like, that dude wore a suit in every Portugal game. And I was like, oh, dude, we could forgive you for... I think the Italians always get it right.
Oh, yeah. No, the Italians, come on, bro.
They always get it right. But of course, sartorially, the Italians
Lemaire
get it right.
From when he coached France, he didn't wear a suit.
No. But Lemaire, listen,
it's contagious.
Yeah. So going to be interesting to watch what happens... Probably a lot of nothing again with England.
Glenn Hoddle didn't wear a suit.
And look what happened to him. He was also a tracksuit guy. So Tuchel, he's not under pressure to wear a suit. You know, they're sponsored by Nike. They got some good stuff. You know, who was it? The American coach?
Bob Bradley.
No, after Bob Bradley.
Klinsmann.
No. The guy who just got fired, then bought back again. And Pochettino. He was wearing like killer... Jordan ones, like limited edition. He's a major sneakerhead. And in the last World Cup, he had crazy Jordan ones, like crazy, crazy collections of. I wouldn't be taking that shit near a soccer field. You don't know what's going to happen.
What?
You know? They're going to get wet.
But like.
You at some point going to have to pass the ball back.
It's the USA team. Like, come on.
But exactly. So he's just getting them directly from MJ's house.
He's like, listen, we may not be good, but we're going to swag out.
I mean, MJ is saying, listen, take from my garage.
We are going to swag
I don't need
out.
It. All right. So another story from Five Aside. I watched this with interest as I saw this. I hope you kept the message I sent you because I want to be proved right. A signing. Listen, what do you think about this age of football that we're in, that we celebrate signings of executives for football teams? You know? Like, I remember when United was appointing a whole bunch of, like, Omar Barada and Wilcox. They were like, oh, look at him. Who the fuck is that? Who gives a shit? I don't give a shit about a suit.
Honestly.
Saying that, I give very much a shit about the suit. Ugo Viana is incoming sporting director at Man City. Chiki Bagheristan on the way out.
Yeah.
Now, the story there, if you don't know, is obviously Chiki Bagheristan was bought in before Pep. He was the guy who kind of was instrumental in bringing Pep into Barcelona.
Yes.
Then he was bought in by City to lay the groundwork for Pep and kind of was there getting things right for 2 or 3 years before Pep came in. And now he's gone, listen, I'm out. And he has anointed Ugo Viana as his successor. Now let's talk a little bit about Ugo Viana. Going to hold it close to my heart. The guy comes from Sporting Academy. Really breakout young player. and goes to Newcastle very young.
Yes.
He was European Golden Boy. They had this European Golden Boy thing at the time.
They still
UEFA do. UEFA Golden Boy. Do they still have it?
Yeah.
It's still because Ronaldinho won it. Like the list of guys who've won it. Sanchez
crazy.
Won it. Alexis Sanchez won it. And Hugo Viana goes to Newcastle under this, 19 or 20 years old. Hugo Viana was actually, let me keep my time all right. So he goes at 20 years old. I don't think the Premier League was right for a player like Hugo Viana.
No,
then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your central midfielders then were Vieira and Keane.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
Hard
an Hugo Viana.
Hard Oaks.
Because you know him because he went to Valencia.
Yes.
And, I mean, he had fantastic time with Valencia.
He was lighting it up.
He was a guy who, like, he did so many simple things really well.
Yes.
You know, like a super creative player. Kind of played as a number six, number eight. Really talented player. Mm-hmm. Technically brilliant, tactically clever.
Mm.
Good career at Valencia. He was, unfortunately for Portugal, it was kind of at the time where we had a midfield of Deco, Maniche, and Costinha. You know, like, you're not going
to... You took all the boxes. You have everything.
You know, dude. Like, and he was a great backup to those guys. But, I mean, you're not going to... It's difficult to get past those three.
Yeah.
And he retired very young and went into executive roles. And he gets bought into Sporting, and one of his first moves at Sporting is to bring in Ruben Amorim.
Mm.
Now, here's where I think the plot thickens. Now, Ruben Amorim, at the time, Sporting sold Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
And used the Bruno Fernandes money to bring in the coach, Ruben Amorim.
Yeah, boy.
He was the third most expensive coach in the world at the time, right? And they used the Bruno money, because this was Hugo Viana went, no, this is what we've got to do. Ruben Amorim, at the time, had coached 10 games. 10 top-flight Portuguese league matches.
Jesus.
Ruben Amorim was a younger teammate of Ronaldo at the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah.
That's how young he is, right? He was a younger teammate of Ronaldo. He was a good player, like a solid player, nothing spectacular. Good player, good enough to get in the squad. You already want him. And so Hugo Viana kind of appoints him, and Sporting haven't looked back since. And, of course, Hugo Viana was part of the squad, the last squad that won the league before Hugo Viana... Ruben Amorim wins it.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, he's kind of just hit on, you know, Portuguese clubs go through troughs of where one of them is always going to be great in the transfer market.
Yeah.
Was Benfica for a long time, and for Sporting, it's just been just signing great players. Mm. João Palhinha, they brought him back.
Ugarte, exactly, yeah.
They brought him, mm-hmm. brought him in, sold him for a fortune to PSG. Victor Gyökeres, who was top scorer in Europe this year, this calendar year, going to make Sporting a shitload of money, and a whole bunch of other young players you haven't heard of, but that are going to break through.
Absolutely.
He's kind of just, that's what he does. So City have appointed him. He comes in next year. He's going to do a little bit of like a job share for a while. I think more than anything, it lays the groundwork
for Ruben Amorim.
That's what I'm saying. They've got previous.
It's not far-fetched. It actually makes a hell of a lot of sense, because, you know, you can see the succession plan, and like, nah, it's partnerships that work in football now.
It really is.
It's partnerships like that that work. So we have to be in sync, like five white boys.
Listen, it's always worked, right? I mean, you go back to David Dean and Arsene Wenger, you know, Edwards and Ferguson, and even
Gil and Ferguson.
You know, even I forget the name, but the chairman of Nottingham Forest and Brian Clough was there.
Mm.
You know, if Liverpool probably got similar. So there's always been, now it's just like we hear about it more, and it's more formal, and it's more executive structures and shit like that. But you do need that.
Yeah.
And I think all that I wonder is, what's the timeline? Because is it to bring Pep in now, or is he going to have a season with Pep? Because Pep's...
You mean to bring in Amorim?
Amorim now, yeah. So, because is Pep going to hang around? Because Hugo Viana, the big thing he's going to have to deal with is some fallout of all these cases.
Yeah.
Some fallout.
Yeah, no, because either way, like, even if City ultimately do beat the charge, it's sustained.
There's going to be something. Yeah, that many charges.
There's going to be a residue. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to go, okay, you found guilty of X, we'll accept X, we'll pay X, we'll do... There's going to be some transfer ban for 2 years.
They'll just say X marks the spot.
You know, points, yeah. You know, there's going to be some going, let's make this whole fucking thing end.
Yeah.
We'll accept half response, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some fallout. And so...
They're not getting out of it unscathed.
No. And... So Hugo Viana is going to be left with that.
Yeah.
What's happens with City is where they've been fantastic is they never get involved in transfer battles.
Yeah, they don't get involved in wars, yeah.
They kind of like just signed Jack Grealish for a record fee and there was no fuss.
Yeah.
No long drawn out summer long transfer
Let's
battle.
Just keep it moving.
Like the shit that United go through.
Yeah,
it's just like, we like that player. We'll he's linked.
Early.
And next thing he signed.
Early.
For the everyone's early. Happy with the price.
Early. But that's Pep. Pep.
Well, I think it's a structure, right?
Yeah, he ties up his business quick first.
And listen, I have to say, Hugo Viana's like that as well with the players that he's brought into Sporting. Khan also very low key, very quiet. Just like, I mean, this summer, the players that he brought in, like already he's replacing the players that they anticipate Sporting losing. You can kind of see the identikits of going, okay, you shadow that guy for a year, you shadow that guy for a year. So I think it's great planning. It's a football club that works.
Yeah.
Very interesting, and I made the call first. He's laying the groundwork. Football clubs that work to a football club that doesn't work, Manchester United.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
Everyone got very excited. All the big Ineos boys are coming in for a meeting. Are they discussing Ten Hag? Will Ten Hag survive the meeting? But they did get rid of somebody.
Bro.
And they got rid of Alex Ferguson.
The goat, boy.
So his major cost cutting, I mean, you've heard the story, major cost cutting going around at Manchester United involving cutting staff, no more work from home, no Christmas party, no company credit cards, no more free food from the cafeteria, bring your own lunches, gotta buy tickets, just like shitting on the IT guys, don't fix the roof. And then they've said to Ferguson, listen,
Cheerio,
you're getting paid $2 million a year and you're done with it. You're out. You're still welcome to come to the games. You're still welcome to all your perks, but just no more money. And they say Ferguson's taken an amicably. Of course he would. He's an 82-year-old man.
83.
Why even the fuck get into that? You know what I mean?
Honestly.
Just fucking £2 million a year. Yes, it's a lot of money for nothing, really.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, what is he really doing?
Yeah.
But come on, £2 million. I mean, there's probably youth team wankers who are...
Honestly, dude.
£2 million and what's Anthony? What's Anthony getting? And he should... Man, it's just... There's two schools of thoughts. What's your school of thought? Because the one school of thought is like... You know what? We've got to move on from the past. This makes no difference because Ferguson's still going to be there.
Yeah.
It's not like they say you can't come to games. You can't, like, all that stays, apparently.
Yeah.
But people say, look, you've got to move on from the past. Other people are going, guys, fucking read the room. It's not the time to do that shit.
Honestly.
Where are you? What are you thinking? What's
no,
your opinion?
Look, there's a time and a place, and now the timing sucks. The timing sucks. Like, it's okay, cool. Like, why?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Like, why?
Why? And you know what's even worse with everything that happens United? Why do we know? Right? Why do we hear this? This is a conversation between Ferguson and them. And going, if it is amicable, which it's not because it got out.
Yeah.
If it's amicable, just go, listen, here's the situation. You understand where we're at. On the surface of it, nothing goes away. But of course, we got to end the contract.
Yeah.
Nobody ever hears about it.
Yeah.
We still see him in the stands. He's still hopping up stuff. They cover costs. Whatever. Ferguson's not short on cash.
No, not at all.
He's going to be okay, right?
The man owns racehorses.
No, Ferguson's going to be fine.
More than fine.
Why do we hear about it? This is what drives
me
crazy.
That's the thing. Like, okay, cool. Who's, like, guys, is this news?
Well, it evidently is, and we're talking about it. And it's just like, it's just this... You know, everyone, oh, Ineos, great. Listen, billionaires are billionaires, bro.
Like, boy. He's there to run a business. The man is there to run a business.
And listen, it's what I said to somebody the other day. I had a conversation. We're saying, so, and somebody said to me, it's like an older dude said to me, what's the, because this guy doesn't own, you know, this new guy, he doesn't own all of Manchester United.
Yeah, he owns a quarter.
So I was like, I said, you know what? It's like you have a supermarket. And somebody comes in and buys the bakery from you.
Also, I don't think it's football operations because didn't Jim Ratcliffe buy the football operations?
And you know, and listen, I think the Glazers, their kind of little keeping Ferguson on is a bit of a thank you to him because he could have fucking blown them out the water.
Yeah.
Listen, it's kind of the gap that he made over a fight of a racehorse that got the Glazers in the first place.
Yeah.
But he could have shat all over them. He could have spoken out of, he's never said a bad word publicly about them. So for them, they're like, you know, just keep the dude around. It makes us look good. You know, it's good PR. And these guys, like within a year, they shot Bambi's dad, man. Cantona's not happy. You see what he said?
He said it.
Sir Alex Ferguson should be able to do anything he wants at the club until the day he dies. Such a lack of respect. It's totally scandalous. Sir Alex Ferguson will be my boss forever. And I'll throw them all in a big bag of shit.
My man. Only like a Frenchman. Eh?
You know what? It's how to...
Win the seagulls. Throw Ferguson.
Did you see that stuff? I knew about it because a friend of mine was involved at the beginning of the season, the first Premier League game of the season, when Cantona threw a tantrum in studio, but it was all set up. It was all a breakaway ad thing. Oh, Cantona is hilarious. But you know what? Like, new boss just like the old boss. You know, I think Ineos, fuck guys, we really bought into you, but billionaire is going to billionaire. And what a dick move, honestly.
It is.
And not the right time. More Manchester United news. He's fucking popped up again, Paul Pogba.
Oh, gosh.
He did a range. I thought he just did one interview.
He did quite a bit with everybody. Yeah.
He did with everybody. Obviously, now his ban's been reduced. He can join a club in January or start training in January. So, okay. He can, you know, not a 4-year ban, 18 months. He's kind of accepted that. And now he's back on the trail looking for a new club. And that's all fine. Of course, he has got to go put Manchester United's name in his mouth. It's got nothing to do with anything.
Oh, it's all papers, bro.
Right. Mm-hmm. He says he wants to play for Juventus. That's his ideal. I don't think, I mean, you watch Serie A. Juventus have so moved on from that model.
They really don't. They're not there anymore. They're totally not there.
Juventus are kind of becoming a team. They go, wow, I actually like what they're doing here.
Yeah.
Young, dynamic, progressive.
Also, do you think Thiago Motta's got time for Paul Pogba?
That's what I'm saying. Were they teammates? Did they overlap at some point? Motta wasn't at Juventus. He was at Inter.
He was at Inter. Right. Yeah, he was at Inter.
So, anyway, Pogba's doing the rounds. And he says all the things, of course. Pogba is a player. I think Pogba and Lukaku, and let's like get a little bit deep here, right? Have a serious conversation. I like having these with you, right?
Mm.
Pogba and Lukaku, specifically them, are players that challenge the way we talk about footballers of color, right? So why I bring this up is there's one moment where the interview, I think it was the Sky interview, where he mentioned, he said, you know, how do you feel about the criticism of players at Manchester United like Rashford, yourself, Jesse Lingard,
Sancho,
Jadon Sancho? And Pogba said, very intense, he knew what he was doing. He said, name those players again. And he named Rashford, you, Lingard and Sancho. He goes, do you think they're criticizing us for football or for something else? And it's something, it's been around for a while, and I think it was always Graham Souness. It was very uncomfortable the way he spoke about Pogba because it felt like...
It was skittish.
Even if you don't mean it, there is definitely a bias there. And the whole thing about the dancing and the hair and all that with Lingard, and you got to be so careful because it's like... you got to be careful the way you talk about it. I'm not the biggest fan of Pogba, right? Yeah. But I criticize him from a point of view of going, you have so much, you had so much, and did at the you're at the end of your career now. Mm. Unless you go have a stellar 4 or 5 years, okay, you won the World Cup, so what the fuck do I know?
Mm.
But a player fucking changing his hair, who gives a shit? A player dancing, who gives a shit? Maybe the timing was wrong. But United certainly encouraged all of that shit.
Yeah, of course.
They didn't say, whoa, pull back on it. They knew what they signed him as much for that.
Yeah.
As anything else.
Of course. For his image and for how he is. The energy. Yeah.
And I think that's always been a tricky thing. And one of the things Pogba has always made me, forced me to go, when you say things about Pogba, just be careful of your language. Careful how you're phrasing things. Careful who you're criticizing, you know, because it doesn't look great.
Yeah,
from where it comes,
it looks. Yeah, it looks like, and people could have not meant it, but like that's how it comes across. You feel me?
It's there. It's even Lukaku. He was this, and also again, I'm not the greatest fan of Lukaku because the potential he had, dude. When you were young at Everton, you were murderous.
At Anderlecht, bro.
You were murderous. What you were doing, and. he said this week, he goes, just because I look and I'm built like Drogba, people expect me to be like Drogba. And it's very true. He's a very unlike a Drogba player at all. But of course, he's strong and he's black, and so he must play like Drogba.
Yeah.
And it's another thing of going, you got to be so careful. Use of words of a black player, he's athletic. He's a specimen. Would you call a Matic? Did you ever call Matic an athlete or a specimen? You know, a racehorse? Like, you got to be so...
You know what I mean? It's a very fine line. And I hear what you're saying because, like, actually, I haven't given it much thought, but now that you mention it, like, because some people... Yeah.
It's something I've specifically been aware of since doing this show, our previous shows, of just being so careful the way you phrase things. Because it's football speak. It's cliches. It's just things we say without thinking. Until you go, I know better than to say that.
Yeah.
And is what I'm saying coming from just a cliche? Or is there some subconscious bias in me that is framing that player like that? And you investigate and go, it is. And then I come to the conclusion, I still think Pogba's a fucking dick and I think he wasted his career.
Yeah.
But I've had that conversation and that thought process with myself, you know, and it's good to have them. And I think if anything of Pogba, and I'm so glad he had that moment in the interview because it makes you go, and I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think he's wrong. Would we think about Jadon Sancho in the same way if he was white? Benny McCarthy did an interview a couple of weeks ago, kind of intimated at it. He goes, you know, Jadon and I were guys from the street. There's a different thing to us. What might not be disrespectful in Ten Hag's eyes is super disrespectful to us.
Yeah.
You know. And you got to understand that.
He hasn't walked that road. He's only seen it from one point of view.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's only seen it from one point of view.
Yeah. And I do look at it and go, yeah, if that was a white player, would we have had the same attitude about Jadon Sancho? Because there are probably loads of white players who behave exactly like him.
Oh, bro.
Exactly the same.
Oh, bro. Like,
why is he singled out?
Bro, but like the thing is, like, do you know what the thing is? And it's become this thing of like, we've associated like people that come from the streets or the hood as just being black guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are white people as well that come from, you know, the hood, inverted commas. So like, and also, they move like street guys as well.
Yeah, you feel me? Yeah.
They move like street guys. I mean, look at Conor McGregor, the way he moves.
Rooney, kind of like...
Wayne Rooney.
And there's like a traveler heritage between the two of them. You know, they're kind of like descendant, but they grew up in council estates. They grew up in rough environments. So there is a similarity there.
Mm.
And we don't ever talk about Rooney in that way.
No.
Can you imagine the shit Rooney did if he was black? What would have happened? Like Sterling. Sterling has lived the absolute impeccable lifestyle. Okay, yes, a couple little bit of happy gas here and then whatever. Yeah. Impeccable.
Yeah.
Kids, good guy.
Yeah.
Does right. But the
way they go after him is, bro. And do you know what also takes away? It takes away of what these guys had to achieve to get to where they are.
I'm so glad you said that. Because I sometimes think of like you go, oh, after United would lose or whatever, and then I got to fucking watch Jesse Lingard and Pogba fucking around and dancing and whatever, right?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you also go, you know, the life those guys came from.
Bruh.
Football's not that important. It's not that it's not that important. Yeah. Their perspective is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They go, okay, yes, we shouldn't do it, but guys, it's a game. Like, fuck, we've seen some shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's sometimes where you just got to take a step back from it and go like, yeah, those guys, they saw things. They understand the position they're in.
Yeah, bro.
We're going to talk about something later in our documentary, something LeBron said.
Yeah.
But it's just this context and framing and of going, and like I say, it challenges me because, I don't want to see you guys dancing.
Mm.
But at the same time, it goes, okay, this thing's actually not that important. It's just a game. Really?
Exactly.
And it's good to challenge yourself.
At the end of the day,
give Pogba that.
At the end of the day, it's a job.
That's it.
At the end of the day, it's a job.
And they probably have a better perspective than us as fans.
Yeah.
you know, especially guys who've come from the more difficult upbringings. They've got a better perspective than fans.
Yeah.
So thank you for having the conversation with me.
No, by all means.
I appreciate it. We had some AFCON qualifying this week, Nigeria and Libya. Oh, come on, guys.
What is up with
you oil states? So if you haven't seen the story, Nigeria were on the way to play Libya, and as they're approaching the airport, they get instructed, you cannot land at this airport, you got to divert. They landed at another airport. They still flew for quite a while to land at the other airport, another 2 hours or something, and landed at the airport. There was a three-hour bus drive to the stadium.
250 k's away.
They were locked in the airport, no access, 16 hours, no access to food and water, and they just went home. They're just like, we're not playing this game, tell with you guys. So now it's been, Patrice has said, listen, this is going to CAF disciplinary. End of the day, Nigeria didn't fulfill the fixture, so
Libya get the three.
You know, probably going to happen.
Most likely.
You know, Libya are saying, listen, there was no ill intent, we couldn't land you. Listen, we know about the games that happen, right? Yeah. This is not new. And Nigeria aren't angels themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I kind of like, I saw on Twitter when the whole thing was going on and was kind of happening, because the players, the Nigerian players started posting what was going on, right?
Yeah.
Victor Boniface, I think he was the biggest one. He was like live on Instagram the whole time. And I just saw somebody post up a picture of Mark Fish with blood running from his head.
Congo Brazzaville.
You know, and kind of going, was it that game? Which game? There was a
Congo Brazzaville.
There was Congo. Which game? The Nigerian game was so bad. Anyway, but people got, I mean, there was another photo I saw of a match with Kenya. And they had to basically train at a rundown primary school.
My man, like, we know this, bro.
And that's part of it. Everyone gets it.
We know this.
You know, it's a year 2024.
We know this.
Teams now traveling within Africa, take your own food.
Yeah.
Make sure you have physically seen the hotel yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Try get a private charter. You know what I mean?
Like, what are we doing?
We know this, and it's mind games. It's fine. It's like, I don't...
Exactly. It's all to get an edge. Like, some people, like, they'll do anything to get an edge over someone else.
Again, it's a thing that you... When we see European teams...
Yeah.
If you're playing a big game against Napoli in Napoli, and you're staying the night before, must know that they are having an all-night party outside your hotel...
My man.
...to keep you up, right?
My man...
Know this. And it's funny, we laugh at it. Suddenly it's happening in Africa. We go, oh no, this and this and this and that. It's the same thing, guys.
No, my man. You've seen North African teams, guys. When you play North African teams and you're West African you'll get it. Go to Al Ahly Stadium or go to Esperance.
Oh,
you'll get it. Raja Kaz, you will get it.
It's happening to you. What do you think? Yeah. So Nigeria, listen, they're both quite safe. I think they're both top of the group, both looking likely to qualify for AFCON. A points deduction isn't going to make a real difference. But I mean, they're probably going to say to Nigeria, listen, you guys, you didn't fulfill the fixture.
Exactly.
That is it. Like, you arrived in time. Okay. Yes, you're upset. You didn't fulfill the fixture. Yeah, sorry, Nigeria fans.
At the end of the day.
The rules are the rules.
At the end of the day. I mean, it's like going to... I mean, even at school, like you go play against another school. Yeah, cool. The pitch is not quite right. The change room is not quite right. But like at the end of the day, you have to strap up and play.
Let me go back. Let me bore you, old man. Yeah. Sit around. Listen to Grandpa Simpson. He's over here on my sleeve. When I was playing club soccer, right through the club that I joined probably at about 13. You know, you play primary, you don't really play club soccer in primary school, you're playing school.
Yeah.
And then you go to high school, I want to play club. And the club I was playing at had a team in my age group that had been together from under six, right?
Jesus.
The majority of the team. So you just, especially the defense, so I was a defender, especially the defense had been together. You just, no matter what happened, you would not break into it. It was just like my first example of football politics. No matter how well you played, it just, you would not get into that side. It just didn't matter. They were friends. And
it is what it is.
There's a group of eight of them from under six. My positions
were, boys club.
You're not getting it, right? And that happens. So the one year, we slowly, so they were the A side, and then the B side. And slowly, we start getting good players. Because what happens is the team was winning. A lot of people want to join the club. They can't get into their team, so they get in the B side. So you're starting to build up a very good side. I'd also convinced two of my friends who were playing Randburg A team then to come and play with us for a season.
Yeah.
Right? So we had a very good side. We were as good as them. And I think we were in the same league and we were 1-2 the whole season.
Yeah.
Okay. We kept swapping. They won the league that season. We kept swapping. And then in the cup, we knocked them out.
Nice.
Right? Which was like very embarrassing for them. They're like, fuck.
How did this happen?
So what they did is the next cup fixture, their coach was the chairman of the club. The next cup fixture, here we go. We all get in the van. We've got an away game in Alberton, right? Mm-hmm. Which is pretty far from us, a good hour drive. Off we go to Alberton, arrive there. There's nobody there. Somebody comes and says, what are you guys doing here? The game's at your place. Okay. So we were given the wrong fixture. And they fulfilled our fixture as us and took our place in the cup.
Dude, oh, they hit you the Kansas City Shuffle. Eh?
Hey, how horrible is that?
That's gold.
Man, we're 16, dude. Oh, come on. It's schoolboys football, man. Like, come on.
Honestly.
Why do that shit?
Bro, like, but some people take it, like, too seriously. And you're just like, what? Bro, I remember when club soccer as well. Like, Oaks are choosing kids and stuff, like, for area and district. And the one guy's dad gets involved. I'm like, bro. You're really gonna fight an under 13 guy. You're really grown ass man. You're gonna fight an under 13.
Exactly, man.
Anyway, seriously.
Moral of the story is show up for your matches.
That's it.
You know, 90% of your 90% of your ability is availability. Right. Not available. Poor David Alaba. You see this?
Oh, bro.
They think his career could be over.
Yeah, bro. But yeah, it's sad though, but yeah, it's sad.
Suffered a bad ACL. They're expecting him back in January. Not going well. A lot worse than they thought. I'd hate that because, oh man, that guy is Rolls Royce, dude.
Yeah, bro. Box office, bro.
Rolls Royce.
He gets it. He gets it.
What a good player. Listen, had a good career. I mean, he's at Bayern Munich, gets a great move to Real Madrid. He's hardly played for Real Madrid. I was like so surprised when I saw the story. I was like, shit, you actually don't associate him because he hasn't played that much.
Yeah.
And Real Madrid kind of haven't missed him.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
with the way they are. So we'll keep an eye on that. Like, I'm not seeing it in the major publications, but I'm seeing it in enough to go, they are a little bit worried about this, which would be a great pity because honestly, like, that is probably one of the, listen, for a guy who plays for Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, and the captain of his country, he's a little bit underrated.
Yeah.
You know, when you start talking about all-timers.
Yeah.
Back to AFCON, Ghana, they might miss out.
What do you make of it?
It's been coming, though. I mean, you know, as much as Ghana have got, like, a really good bunch of players, when you still got an IU brother playing for you.
Oh, bro, I haven't been moved on from the IU brothers. Like, come on, guys.
You know, your father was a legend, but you aren't, and let's just move on.
Oh, bro, like, we've seen enough.
You know, I don't know. Ghana's in a weird place, produced so many good players. They'll probably, I don't know, it doesn't look good for them.
But, like, you know, sometimes it needs to happen. There needs to be a casualty. There needs to be a box office name that doesn't make it.
And you got to and you know what? In a way, I think that the way they've structured these tournaments these days is that it's almost impossible for big teams not to qualify. You get so many safety nets or there's so many, you know, opportunities. So I think it's okay every now and again for a big team not to be at a tournament because it goes, okay, like, shit.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. We take it seriously.
It can still happen. Rafa Varane, talking about Rolls Royce of players.
Yeah.
Said something this week. What do you think about this? Everything is robotic. Game systems suppress the elements of surprise. Carlo Ancelotti is one of those coaches who allows some freedom, but the younger generations of coaches do not. Football should be a game of mistakes, and there is less and less of that. This is a guy who played for Mourinho.
But this,
and he thinks it's worse now.
But I get what he's saying because we've touched on it before, but not in depth like this. Like, simple things. Not knocking the ball off. Oaks are scared to, like, concede a corner, concede throw-ins. Like, guys, sense must prevail.
It's, listen, you got to be careful about saying, oh, things were better when I was younger. You know, it was better in my day. Because it was more meaningful in our day. But I don't enjoy watching football as much anymore.
I don't think as well.
because you don't have, like, you watch your team and you'll watch big games because you want to see the quality, but by and large, you're going like, I don't see, especially in the really big leagues, I don't see that. Like, one thing that is happening in football is driving me crazy. I can't, and this is like part of, I blame Pep for this, mm-hmm. not even younger coaches. Fullbacks not skinning their man.
Yeah.
They get to a point, they skin the man, they kind of get in line with the box and they turn back in and come back in.
Bro.
Or pass back. It's like, what are you doing? You've got the man. Just take you him finish, down the line.
Finish him.
Go.
But that's the thing anymore. And it also comes to this thing, like, there's certain positions that don't exist anymore. Like, I mean, like a Tranco Artista.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't think there's, if you're Tranco Artista, you're not doing anything.
I don't think wingers exist anymore.
Yeah. I was watching something with David Beckham and Rio Ferdinand.
Is it worth watching?
Yeah, it is. It's actually quite cool.
I love Beckham.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were saying, like, he's
look who I'm talking to.
I mean, come on. That's my guy. And I was watching like an analytical thing. They were like, okay, Beckham's position doesn't really exist anymore. Right?
No, not at all.
And they were like, if he was playing in the modern game, he'd probably play center mid, which I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can see, because some people were like, right back. I'm like, bro, that guy is not going to play right back.
No.
He's wasted at right back. No. And they're like, which player do you think he'd be likened to? But not playing style, but like in terms of what they do in the modern game. And people like, most people said Kevin De Bruyne.
That's the first player came to mind, yeah. Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne, in terms of the vision, in terms of what he does.
Not the dribbling.
Yeah, not the dribbling.
I think, but yeah. Probably that's it, and that's and his position, yeah.
He said, for him, he sees a lot of himself in Trent Alexander-Arnold, in terms of the way he crosses, the way he delivers, the cut-up balls.
Even from the position, because Beckham was, he'd go to the line, but he never had that pace.
Yeah.
Beckham was almost, always would cross from a little bit deeper, just to really get that bend.
Yeah.
So it's just that there are players that are just identical, kind of hot-housed, academy-made players who are going, you're going to be 7 out of 10 every game.
Yeah.
You're going to follow every instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like the younger managers. It's this rise of these kind of like nerd laptop managers.
Yeah.
You know, and they're fantastic guys. But
they're trying to money ball football.
That's it. Like, Bolton's got one. Brighton's got one.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace has got one.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, I can't even name them because they're just so nondescript. Their teams play well. They're organized. Oh, my God. It's just like, it's so frustratingly. Like, who is the story of Brighton season for you, despite how efficient all that is? Danny Welbeck. Because Danny Welbeck's old school.
Yeah.
Street football. He's going to take a shot.
Exactly.
He's going to do what he's going to do. You know what I mean?
Something unorthodox, unexpected. Yeah.
You know, even Mitoma, who is like one of the greatest dribblers, one of the best dribblers I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of like, it's been coached out of him. It's
they've stifled it.
Systemed out of him.
Yeah. They stifled it. They took his X factor away.
You know, that's why I'm so often grateful that I do support and watch a kind of out of the top five league in Portugal.
Yeah.
Where you do have a lot of rawness. You do have a lot of tactical chance.
Yeah, there's grit.
Yeah. You see, even a team like Sporting, who's by far and away the best team in Portugal, there's a lot of looseness about them. There's a lot of like,
they're enjoying what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's easy going. It's not a life or death thing for them.
Yeah.
They're there primarily to have fun.
There are games like in the Portuguese league where you'll watch like kind of like mid table. And you know the quality is not going to be great, but every now and again there'll be somebody
that does something outrageous.
Fucking 18-year-old from Ecuador that is just going to do the most outrageous dirty on someone and fucking hit the ball from the halfway line. You go, that's football, man.
Exactly.
The coach is going to be screaming at him, and teammates are going to, why didn't you pass? But he's like, ah, fuck it.
Do you know what I miss watching in the Premier League? Yannick Bolasie, guys.
Oh man.
Yannick Bolasie, you knew there was a highlight reel coming here.
That guy was street, bro.
That straight away.
I was so excited. He didn't work out.
Adel Taarabt.
He didn't work out at Sporting.
Yeah.
Adel Taarabt goes to Benfica, becomes the super disciplined central midfielder.
Bro.
Right, running the game. I was so disappointed Bolasie didn't work out at Sporting, because I loved, he was just that typical of going, he'd get the ball and he was just as likely to like run it out of play.
Yeah.
As skin five or six players. Like you just never knew.
Yeah, for us, you do it outrageous.
You just never knew. And you go, God, I love that. That's football. That makes me feel good. That makes me feel good. So we agree with Rafa Varane, you know, the man's right. CAF news. We got our boy, Patrice Motsepe, being the president of CAF. Elections next year. Did you see who's running against him?
Samuel Eto'o-Fils.
No, guys.
Arguably the greatest African. Top five of all time.
Definitely top five. Listen, I put him in the argument as the best. What did he win with Cameroon?
The AFCON, like, AFCON, back to back.
They did. Okay, done. He's it for me. He did in Europe. Yeah. He won the treble with Inter. He was part of the Barcelona side. Plus, he did back to back to back with Cameroon.
And he won gold medal, Sydney.
Gold medal. Okay. It's Eto. But listen, not the greatest football administrator. There is so much dodgy shit in his locker.
Yes, bro.
Oh, man.
No, but you remember, he was at Anzhi.
Listen, as a player, like, he was always like, listen, he had it as a player. I know how good I am. I've been fucking been in the shit since I was 16 years old.
Honestly,
Real Madrid don't come pick you outside of Cameroon if you don't have something, right?
Honestly.
And, I mean, people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that it was Real Madrid who found him.
Before Mallorca.
He went to Mallorca, then Barca. And they came to pick him up out of Africa at 16. Like, you got to know you're something, right?
Yeah.
And he carried that. He's like, fuck's sakes, I know what I'm about. And
I know me better than you guys know me.
Yeah, right? And listen, did not need anyone to tell him how good he is. And, of course, he's been the president of the Cameroonian FA. And it's always a fun ride.
Until it's not.
Did you ever hear the story about how he hand-delivered bags of cash to the Cameroon players?
Yes,
because they wouldn't play in the World Cup match.
I said, Oaks, come on, man.
He physically, there's been allegations of him.
He hit a Mamkiza.
Oh, man. There are stories of him fixing lower division matches for his mates. Oh, man.
Africans are going to African, man.
It is never a boring time. And he just goes, you know what? I want the whole continent.
I'm going to give out bags of cash to everybody.
Cameroon's big. I want it all. I want it all.
Yeah. I'm badass like that.
He's going to undo all the good work Patrice has done. We're taking African teams out of FIFA. We're making our own. We will get the Qataris to fund us.
Honestly, bro.
Oh, man. It is going to be a wild ride. So they're doing elections next year.
Listen. About the Russians. Yeah.
Oh, the Russians. You bring the Russians in. I mean, he played for a club that was run by warlords.
Anzhi.
You know, he
was the highest paid player in the world.
At that stage.
He was getting 400K when 400K was diabolical.
Anzhi Makachula. And they were Chechenian, right? They were in Chechnya, in a war zone. The players got flown in on match day and flown out straight afterwards.
Right.
Man, but Samuel was in. He's like, I'm taking this cash. I don't give a shit. And I'm doing what I need to do. I've won it all. And now I'm going to make bank. Listen, this story a little bit weird. Mbappe, the rape allegations this week.
Bro.
He got removed from some of promotional material of Real Madrid. It's quite complicated because of where it happened.
What do you make of it?
So the background of the story is that when he got called up for France for these qualifiers that went this week, he pulled out the squad, said, listen, I'm injured, need to take some time off. Deschamps said, cool, no problem. Only for him to play the full 90 minutes for Real Madrid that weekend. So they were a bit upset about it and felt that as captain, and Mbappe is more than just a captain, he's a figurehead, he should be with the squad, right?
Sure, yeah.
Even if you're injured.
Yeah.
I mean, Harry Kane's done it.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Ronaldo's done it when he's injured. You're still with the squad.
Yeah.
And he went out and, you know, he went to Sweden.
Yeah.
That's where he spent the time. And then a rape allegation popped up this week. Now, the devil's in the detail on this because you want to say something.
No.
Right?
I'm just like...
So... I'll read this from the BBC because I don't want to say the wrong things. So,
yeah.
So his name has been linked in media reports to a rape inquiry in Sweden, but his lawyer says the player is calm because there's nothing to be sorry about. Swedish authorities have confirmed that a senior prosecutor is investigating a report of a suspected rape in Stockholm without naming anyone in connection with the case. Mbappe himself, so this incident happened in a hotel in Stockholm last Thursday. Mbappe has reacted on social media with just fake news. Swedish media said the footballer had stayed in Stockholm for 2 days, visiting a restaurant on Thursday and then moving to a nightclub. And he's pictured walking in the center of the capital with three other people. Swedish prosecutors have clarified on Monday that, according to a criminal report submitted to police, the incident under investigation took place on the 10th at a hotel. Police were seen at the hotel investigating. So it's led by a senior prosecutor who's unable to provide any more information. Mm-hmm. Here's where what they do have to say about the changes of law about rape. So Swedish media outlets have reported that allegation involved reasonable suspicion of rape, which is considered a lower level of suspicion under Swedish law. So it's reasonable suspicion. These are perfect
reasonable
countries.
Reasonable suspicion, like, what does that even mean?
So his lawyer has been on news condemning the report, saying nothing was known of the complaint, or even if it had been made against her client, who said has been stunned by the media frenzy. They have stated that at no point was Mbappe ever alone at the course of the night. He was with people the whole time.
Makes sense.
He never puts himself in a position where he ends up in a situation that would lead to him taking a risk. So he's obviously very aware of this. Because listen, it's happened to a lot of players before.
Yeah.
I mean, remember with Neymar, he set up a camera because he thought he was being set up.
Yeah.
This happened with Neymar. He suspected this was happening. He put a camera in the room to show that nothing happened. So he says no. She said the complaint proved nothing and that she was preparing to hit back with a claim for defamation. Where is the part? Yes, yeah. So Swedish rape laws were reformed in 2018.
Yeah.
So a perpetrator can be convicted of negligent assault or rape if they should have realized the other person was not participating voluntarily. So it can start off consensual, but once you realize that had a change of mind, it's negligent assault or rape. Now, this is getting into a whole minefield.
Jesus.
But anyway, listen, his name's been attached to it. Nowhere formally does it say it was him, but it's just all allegations. I mean, Kylian Mbappe has the perfect record book. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and you're just like,
hey, we're just talking about it. I don't think we give our opinion.
Yeah.
But that's where it is. It's kind of like Mbappe, welcome to the room. I think it's almost like, are you a top name sports star if your name hasn't been dragged into something like this?
Yeah.
At some point. And you know what the unfortunate thing is? We're quite cynical about it.
Yeah.
How many victims have there really been and have just been dismissed because you're like maybe clout chasing?
Absolutely, yeah.
But a fame. And the people who do that are disgusting because now they make you doubt it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this working title FC, we're coming back after this talking Jimmy Buckets.
Bro.
And all of his friends. This is Working Title FC. So when Senzo and I aren't watching sports, we are watching sports documentaries.
Absolutely.
And we've not finished this one yet. We're both kind of like, I'm two episodes in, you're three.
Yeah.
And it's on Netflix, came out last week, Starting Five, my man.
Oh, bro.
Starting Five, it is
box office.
Listen, if you're going to get a cast, okay?
Honestly.
It follows over the course of last season, right?
Yeah.
It's like I don't watch NBA regular season.
Yeah.
I kind of only get in the playoffs. So there's parts of me that I can't quite figure out. And I don't, so spoiler alert, we know who wins the championship.
I mean.
But it follows, I mean, their selection of players is perfect. Jimmy Jason. Butler,
mm-hmm.
Anthony Edwards,
mm-hmm.
LeBron,
mm-hmm.
Sabonis,
mm-hmm.
and Jason Tatum. I mean, you're talking a legend.
Yeah.
The two up and coming, Jordan and Johnson.
Yeah.
You're talking legacy in Sabonis.
Yeah.
And absolute wild card in Butler.
But Butler, you have to respect him like for, you know Jimmy Butler's story, right?
So give it. Yeah, tell me.
So Jimmy Butler, his dad or they kind of said, look, dude, we don't want you anymore. And he was like young. He was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And he had to pull himself out of that and to get to where he is now.
Man, that's wild because his dad's in Starting Five.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
That is absolutely wild.
That's why they were like, when he was at the Minnesota Timberwolves, the team got angry at him because he says, these guys had no competitive spirit. They had no competitive spirit. They're like, they weren't fighters. Oaks just folded. And then he's like soft.
Well, let me show you my friend Jimmy.
Yeah, bro. Jimmy Butler, bro. He was like, bro, coming from where I came from and what I had to do to get here, you know, that I see no reason to fold like that.
I think that's why it's so interesting what they have done in this and the people they've got, because Anthony Edwards also comes from a very similar situation, losing both his mother and his grandmother, who were both obviously like losing both parents basically in their family at 14, and he's raised by a sister. You just go, wow.
Jason Tatum doesn't know his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
LeBron James also didn't, like, his father was in prison in his life. His mom had him when he was 16.
And then you got the other side. You got Sabonis, whose dad was like Hall of Famer. Yeah. Is his dad in the Hall of Fame?
I think so.
So it's such an amazing dynamic in this dichotomy of like all these different characters and who they are and their trajectories. There's one part in it, and listen, I've always thought heresy to say it out loud. But man, when they put their highlight reels next to each other, I've never seen them next to each other like this. Man, Anthony Edwards he's a bit of a Michael Jordan regen, man.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, dude.
I was watching it. I was like, and I've been watching Anthony Edwards a lot. And I was like, that looks very familiar.
His aggression on the basket, man. He is so.
Yeah.
It's that Jordan.
It's the closest thing I've seen. Even more so than Kobe.
Yeah, man. Like
even the shooting style and the hang time,
everything. It's like he doesn't say it, but you go, have you not modeled your game on it? It's at some point a coach has gone, you got the same things.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he drives the box, and I don't know if you remember in starting five, they do have a side by side of a couple of plays.
Yeah.
It's identical. It's mirror and everything. And it's weird because he's not built like Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a bit of a different body shape.
Yeah.
But man.
But it's just like, I've seen this before. It looks very familiar.
No, that is absolutely wild. I thought it was heresy, but you know, you got to say it. And listen, if anybody's going to take the mantle, hey, you know.
He's not a shabby oak because the Timberwolves are his team.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
He's the guy there.
100%. And then, of course, you got this absolute other end of it. So you got Anthony Edwards, guy kind of coming through, and you got Jason Tatum, kind of the future. You know, these two are going to be the face of the NBA.
Jason Tatum is something else, bro.
I mean, different story, right?
Jason Tatum's a different beast, dogs.
Absolutely different
also,
story.
Also, that's why they gave him the contract that they gave him.
Yeah, right?
Jeez.
You must kill you, because I know as a Lakers man, you hate the Celtics.
Bro.
If anyone's listening, I've got to tell you something about Zenzo, right? So the building we record at, right? So we've got our floor, and there's different people all around, different parts of the building. And one guy is just minding his own business the one day, eating lunch, just so happens to wear a Boston Celtics shirt. I don't think he supports the Celtics. I don't think it's anything other than he liked the color and the logo.
It made me sick.
It just starts abusing him.
It made me sick.
Like having a really intense NBA conversation with this guy who just like looked so shell-shocked.
It made me sick. Seriously.
You went after that guy like he was fucking Ben Affleck, born and bred Boston guy.
It made me sick.
So anyway, Jason Tatum, that whole thing must make you sick. And then you got the other side of you got LeBron, who's now just made it. He is the top. He's now telling the Lakers to play his son.
Like, his son's got no business being in the NBA. But
Man, we touched on it last week. Like, there are players who can go high school to NBA, like LeBron. But even a guy generation like Anthony Edwards did a year in college.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to do
that. But there's no... You have to go to college now. You don't just come straight.
You know, just because you got James on your back, like it's not.
And
does he wear James? I think he wears Bronny.
Yeah, he wears Bronny. Bro, not many people are one and done. And you know how good you have to be one and done?
You have to be LeBron.
Yeah.
You basically have to be LeBron.
One and done.
No, I mean, and you're talking generational. Anyway, that's a different topic. Which brings us nicely to Domantas Sabonis, his dad for me. Right, and they talk about it a little bit. What I love is I used to watch his dad. His dad was a monster. His dad was this combination of being so powerful, but he was so like, he was an absolute maverick.
Yeah.
Like behind the back, you know, you get a, just behind the back stuff, no look passes, bounce between the legs, just like he did crazy stuff like that. But my favorite thing about him is in the 90s, there was an arcade game called NBA Jam.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Like they put it on console, but it was never the same because the thing that made it was the loudspeakers.
Yeah.
And the commentators. So NBA Jam was like a 2-on-2 basketball. Yeah. You got to choose from all the teams. They picked up two players. No Michael Jordan. They didn't have the rights to use him. You could unlock him as player 23, but then
it's like FIFA Street.
Yeah, right. And that's exactly what it was. It was like crazy stuff. You got power ups and whatever. The players look like cartoons. Don't bring me NBA 2K, none of that shit.
Yeah.
NBA Jam. And the commentator was so funny because he was like, Bam, slam a jam. But Sabonis, every time he got, Sabonis.
It's probably Bob Costas.
It was Bob Costas, but it was, I don't know if it was Bob Costas or like a amalgamation or an over exaggerated version, but every time I hear Sabonis, and even the first time I didn't realize Sabonis' son was back in the NBA, and kind of like just half watching, and I just hear Sabonis, and I was like, what the fuck? But casting great, the players they got phenomenal,
and it's all different, it's all guys that have a different playing style.
You know, you go from, and I think like this is one thing struck me, right? LeBron. Who is driven around in a limo.
Maybach, bro.
Maybach, bro. Lives on a, like...
Brentwood.
Like the whole of Brentwood.
Yeah.
And then you got Edwards, who like lives in quite a small little place with his uncles. And it's just like...
Levels,
bro. You know, that's it.
Levels.
And he could afford it, but he just goes, no, this is who I am.
LeBron's a billionaire with a B.
Man. Yeah, listen, LeBron's got NBA owner money, not just player money. I love the story of Jimmy Buckets. I kind of missed his whole thing with the hair. I didn't know enough about it, that he does that often. Remember the beginning of the season with all his photos.
I'm not a fan. But yeah,
you don't like it. It's character, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think we talk about the clones in football that no players have personality.
Yeah.
I think that's why we like the NBA so much, because there's just personality everywhere. And also,
people rock up to the game in their own gear, man.
Man,
they're not like club suits or whatever. You go there. You know, it's a runway.
Yeah, the French national team tries to do that, but that's not the same, guys. One thing I do have to say is the soundtrack, man. The soundtrack.
It's generational, bro.
I've not heard a bad song yet.
Nah, bro. I mean, come on. But it's ballers. It's ballers.
No. Listen, great show. It's 10 episodes. I thought it was shorter than that.
Yeah, it's good. It's decent watch.
Get into that. It is on Netflix. Starting 5. Like, even if you're a casual basketball fan,
you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Even if you kind of know,
you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. It's just good. Good story.
My favorite is when they mic'd up on the court.
I actually wanted to mention, I love that shit.
Bro,
did you see the part? So, Edwards, he gets fouled and he screams at the ref. Then he's talking to the ref. He goes, oh, no, listen, you know, I'm not shouting at you. It's just like I'm frustrated and it's just the moment things. The ref just goes, well, don't do it then. I love that. I love it. And trash talking each other.
Trash talking is the best.
Yeah, no, that's great show. Great show.
Unbelievable.
A little bit of everything there. Starting 5 on Netflix. After this, we open up the gates of the goat farm with the Portuguese Almost Man. And man.
Man.
Man. So Goat Farm, we got this thing where we go through our favorite things in sports, right? We've kind of had Andre Agassi in there, then a lot of football. Rui Costa, Carlo Ancelotti. It's just kind of like a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But different levels. It doesn't mean you're the best. You're just one of the best. And last week, prompted by our documentary they spoke about last week, The Figo Affair, we thought, let's open up the gates of the Goat Farm to Luís Cairo Madeira Figo. Other way around. Luís Filipe Madeira Cairo Figo.
Mr. Damn the Kids. Damn Beckham's kids.
Right. So Figo was the first Galactico.
Yes.
Right. Signed by Real Madrid. The Figo Affair covers that, his move from Barcelona to Real Madrid.
The sum of money for that time.
He was world record signing for a season.
62 million euros, and
for one season. So let's go back to Figo. Travel back in time, and Figo comes through the Sporting Academy. Was a Sporting fan as a kid. Gets picked up. Joins at 12, and this is where I start seeing him. Right, he starts breaking in at about 17. Starts playing for Sporting. Right, Sporting. Always had a good record of young academy players, but Figo was kind of the first. Paulo Futre was just before him.
Yeah.
Then it was Figo, and then from then it just went Simão, Quaresma, Ronaldo, Nani, yeah. Just on and on and on, right? There's a couple coming through now as well. So he comes in and he breaks into the side, but he really gets his moment when him, João Pinto, Rui Costa win the Under-20 World Cup for Portugal.
And the Under-16 European Championships.
And the Under-16. And then they win the next year as well. So this is quite a moment because they go, wow, there's something here. Queiroz. Remember Queiroz? Manchester United assistant manager.
Bafana manager.
He was the coach of this. And kind of people are going, okay, Portuguese football has been in a bit of a doldrums. Mm-hmm. A bit of a political situation because Portugal had only really gained independence kind of like 20, or got freed from dictatorship.
Yeah.
They were under dictatorship, kind of like became a democratic country. Football wasn't as important, which is weird to say.
Yeah.
But suddenly something started brewing. Something was happening and Figo was the face of it. You know, Portugal hadn't qualified for a tournament from 1966. In 1986, they did the World Cup and then kind of nothing for a while.
Yeah.
So Portugal in tournaments wasn't a big thing. It happened every now and again, 84 Euro, 86. But it was kind of like hit and miss. So he plays for Sporting, wins the Portuguese Cup. He wasn't there long, and then he gets a transfer to Barcelona and kind of becomes Mr. Barcelona.
He becomes the guy.
You know, we're going to name later. I'm going to go through. We're going to name some of his teammates later. Because you and I like that. We like going, who
did you play?
Whose presence?
Who's the guy?
Right? We're going to do some of that. And when we do some of that, it makes you realize, oh my God, this guy became the guy of that club, the captain.
Yeah.
He was the icon, the face of it.
Clocked it.
You know, for an outsider to get that.
Yeah.
It's kind of
especially
like
a Portuguese look.
You know, you're talking about the reverence for Figo that only Messi then kind of gets.
Yeah.
Right? And Messi's La Masia.
Yeah.
Even though he's Argentinian, he's kind of made there. But Xavi, Iniesta, to more a modern context,
yeah,
the way they're revered,
but
that's what he was revered
as. Demigod-like.
You know, now the reason he ends up at Barcelona, we kind of touched on it last week,
yeah,
is that Serie A was the hot club then, or the hot league then.
Yeah.
And Parma, who were kind of like no shit team then,
yeah,
right? And Juventus were the two teams that wanted him in. Juventus made a double move. They wanted him and Paul Souza to come in. And the story still, this is what the Figo affair is about. He signed a contract. His agent signed another contract. They both deny it. But anyway, he basically signed to go to both clubs in the same summer. And then because of this, he was just banned from playing in Italy. So do you know who they try to move him to in this kind of lull period? Man City. We're not talking today Man City. We're talking...
Sean, go to Man City.
Even before that. We're talking when United would regularly give City five. We're talking when City were a yo-yo club moving between the leagues, right? So I remember at the time, like going, of course, you're Manchester United. You go,
when they played at Main Road.
Right? And it's not today's City.
Yeah.
So it would have been like, oh, no. Listen, Figo moving to City. Figo was such a good player and you kind of like, he was very Ryan Giggs-ish at the time. So you go, okay, it could have worked, but not at City. Anyway, thank God he goes to Barcelona. The rest is history. And wants to get a new contract because goes, listen, I'm the guy here. My kids are born here. I am virtually an adopted Catalan. Show me some respect, of which, you know, Barcelona being Barcelona didn't.
He was revered in Barcelona because his presence had given Catalonia a sense of extreme approval.
Think about that. An outsider, a Portuguese guy on top of everything.
That's wild.
So I think rightly so, he wants to stay. Could be a lifer, right?
Yeah, lifer, like he's in prison.
But there's a man, upstart, entering the world of football, Florentino Perez.
Oh.
Businessman.
Florentino, nobody says no to me, Perez.
Wants to have a go. at this football thing. Think about that. Wants to have a go. And he kind of goes, listen, you elect me, I'm bringing Figu. And Real Madrid, you'll never fucking do that. You elect me, I'm bringing Figu.
Hold my beer.
So he wins the elections and he goes and gets Figu, right?
Jesus.
And he says, I got this new policy called Galacticos. We're just going to sign the best players. We kind of had Real Madrid in the
60s. We're going to have the Avengers.
That's what we did. I'm doing that again. And they're kind of like low-key doing it right now again. So Figu comes in as the first Galactico. Of course, we know what happens. And again, I'm only going to name his teammates later. He wins the Ballon d'Or, becoming the first Portuguese player to win it since Eusebio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, at the whole time, this is happening, coincides with Portugal just... Portugal have the only team in Europe who have qualified for every tournament since 1996.
Yeah.
Okay, successively. Now, obviously, Ronaldo is responsible for a lot of that, but Figo was also... Sorry, I lied. 98. 98 yeah. We missed. Yeah. So from 2000. So Portugal show up Euro 96, Brazil of Europe. Yeah. You want to talk about an entertaining team.
Yeah.
I mean, Portugal were beautiful.
Yeah, oh, they were awesome to watch.
They were beautiful. That kit was amazing.
Bro, they were awesome to watch.
They were just fantastic. Nobody could deal with them. Of course, like all great teams, you don't win anything. Great football playing teams. We go to Euro 2000, almost win that.
Yeah.
You know, Figu is at his absolute pomp. Him and Zidane, it's like a head-to-head.
Yeah.
Right.
Of who's the guy?
Yeah. The guy who wins this tournament is the guy. That's right.
He's your guy's guy.
Portugal then starts their kind of like shit run in World Cups, goes to Japan and Korea 2002, don't really do much.
Trouble everything.
Oh, man, listen, one day, maybe, would we ever put that tournament in the goat farm?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Of course. Of course.
Oh, man, that tournament was so crooked.
It was crooked. It was weird.
It was weird. Too many things were happening to go. Mm.
But the right team won in the end.
Yeah, listen, no, 100%.
Yeah, the team was meant to win.
But that's the thing. I'm not saying it was opened up for Japan or Korea because they're not going to win. It was definitely opened up for Brazil to win.
Yeah.
Because they took out anyone who could compete with them.
Yeah.
They took out Spain, Portugal, and Italy.
And
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not saying Brazil.
Yeah.
I'm saying the officials.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll get into that. Goat farm that tournament. Then, of course, this is where I start saying he's an almost man. Because now, this is now building up. It's Figu's team. Figu's the guy. Figu's the leader. He's the best player in the world. Like, to think about it, like, Figu was Portugal's best player since Eusebio. He was most capped player.
Yeah.
Highest goal scoring player.
Ballon d'Or.
Kind of you going, wow, we have finally, for the first time in my lifetime,
we have
a Portuguese player that is the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Like box office.
What
like
a novelty.
Proper box office.
He plays for the big, well, this is amazing to see. And it's all going to culminate in Euro 2004 in Portugal.
His time.
He's going to do it. Going to win the Euro in Lisbon, you know, a repeat. Him and Rui Costa are going to go lift the Euro. And, of course, Portugal don't win. And it just coincides with this guy called Cristiano Ronaldo, who then goes on to kind of obliterate every absolute record ever.
Bro.
All Eusebio's records, all Ronaldo's, all Figo's records.
Ate them alive.
And you kind of forget Figo now because, you know, Ronaldo goes to play for Real Madrid. Ronaldo does all the things. Ronaldo wins a Ballon d'Or. Ronaldo's the most expensive player in the world. And he kind of goes, oh, shit, we kind of forgot about Figu. And I wonder if it would have been different if he had won the Euro. You know? Because Portuguese fans, I've grown up in going, geez, everyone spoke about Figu. To now, people go, I remember Figu. Oh, that was a nice, I liked him. He got nice hair. Have you seen him now? He's in good shape now.
Yeah,
that's the conversation about him now.
Yeah.
So... kind of doesn't get the success with Portugal. I know he then goes to World Cup 2006. Also, another nearly chance.
Yeah.
Portugal also had a very good chance to win that World Cup. But of course, then by now, Portugal is Ronaldo's team. He moves to Inter Milan, finally makes his move to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was only there for a season. He went on a free transfer. And just after that, he retires. Kind of goes, listen, I've had a good run.
I'm enough. I'm satisfied.
Got my dream of playing in Portugal, in Italy, did that. He's now an ambassador for FIFA. He's an ambassador for Inter Milan. He's a hobnobber now.
Yeah.
Now he's a guy. He's enjoying it.
Silver foxing it up.
Oh, have you seen what a silver fox?
Silver face like granite. Yeah.
You know, silver foxing face it up, like
enjoying it.
Face like granite, running charities. I used to love it in international breaks. They used to have the Figure 11. Do you ever remember those matches?
Yeah.
He would just go get all his mates. So they'd do a Figure 11 against the World 11.
Bro.
It's like, you know, when you play that on video games, bro, this was it in real life.
Bro.
One time, Michael Schumacher was in the Figure 11.
He's pretty decent.
And he was
football.
Good. No, Schumacher was a decent footballer.
He's decent. Like, he's proper good.
He's a decent footballer, and he'd be in the Figure 11. But he's a businessman. I've been to his bar. One of the things I went to, yeah? I had to do it. I had to do it. So in Algarve, Villamora, which is kind of like the millionaire's playground.
Yeah.
Euro millionaire's playground.
Yeah.
He's got a bar there, a cafe. Figures, it's called Figures Bar. Yeah. I think they changed it to Sevens now. It's called Figures. And it's like, I was like, when we went, I said, I have to go there. It's like a shrine. Yeah. I have to go. Jesus. I paid. You know, you get those little mini pizzas from Woolworths?
Yeah.
Those like tiny little ones. I'm showing Senzo with my hands. But you guys don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We're going back 2005. That's when I was. We're 20 years ago. Okay. Then €10. For that tiny little pizza, €10. Okay, the exchange rate wasn't as hectic as it was now, but we're still talking the best part of $100 for a bite-sized pizza. But listen, the stuff in there, his memorabilia. Now, Ronaldo's got his museum, which is a different story.
Yeah.
But just signed shirts, photos, some medals and stuff like that. Really cool to be. Now, one of the things is you and I love going through a player's teammates. Okay, let's go through his managers first. So everyone's doing the timing thing now. Guess who's his first coach at Barcelona?
Tell them.
Johan Cruyff. A guy who kind of knows what a very exciting wide player is about, right?
A little bit. He knows. Yeah, a little bit.
At Real Madrid, his Vicente del Bosque.
Yes.
And, okay, Queiroz bombed out. Queiroz coached him both at Portugal and at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
At Inter Milan, Mancini and Mourinho.
Jesus, works.
And then in the Portuguese national team, we mentioned him earlier, Big Phil.
Luis Felipe Scolari.
And now, let's go through some of his teammates. Now, listen here. I got this from Transfermarkt, right? You can do this like filter where you look at a player's teammates. I had to go to page 7 to start hitting the normal players, right? Only on page 7. And there's like 20 people on each page. I'm just going to skim through some of them. I had to hit page 7. Before I started hitting the humans. So, of course, we start Roberto Carlos, Raul, Casillas. I'm going to skip a whole bunch. Guti's in there. Zidane, R9, Guardiola, Fernando Couto, Luis Enrique, Rivaldo, Makaleli, Zanetti, Walter Samuel, Herrero. Or Hierro.
Yeah, Fernando Hierro.
Fernando Hierro. And then Vitor Bahia, which might not be important for you if you're not Portuguese, but it is for me. We're not done yet.
Page 2.
Morientes.
Yeah.
Rui Costa.
Yeah.
Dejan Stankovic.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about? You and I get so excited
Philip
about
Cocu.
This. Philip Cocu. David Beckham. Adriano. João Pinto. Clivert. Materazzi.
Oaks, like.
Ibra.
Karanka.
I mean.
Pauleta.
We're only on page 3. I'm not even mentioning some of the Portuguese players. Okay. No, let's go more. There's still more. Okay, now we start looking. There's some humans. Crespo's in there. Was a teammate of his at Inter.
No, man.
Xavi. Iniesta. I mean.
Crespo.
Paul Souza. The De Boer brothers. Patrick Vieira.
Bro.
wait. We're still on. We haven't reached the humans yet. So, okay, listen. Any Portuguese player over that time, I mean, you may or may not consider them. Stoichkov.
Bro, what?
He was Deutsch. Laurent Blanc.
No, man.
Veron. At Inter. Wait. We're still
almost. Femi Martins even. Cult heroes.
We're still not near the. Listen, this one I loved. It may not, but I love this guy. You know, 94 World Cup, everyone loves Stoichkov.
Yeah.
Belakov was my guy.
Belakov.
Because Belakov was playing for Sporting at the time. Yeah. Belakov was just, you want to talk about a player who's just going to pull anything out the box. It's going to be him. Hadji.
Yeah.
Hadji was his teammate.
What?
We laugh at him now, but he was a fantastic player. Michael Owen.
Yeah.
Another one. We haven't even mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo.
Bro.
You know?
Deco.
Litmanen. Yari Litmanen.
Yari Litmanen.
World Cup goal winning Fabio Grosso was a teammate. Okay, now we're starting to get to some of the normal people. Ricardo Carvalho.
Thomas Gravesen, my man.
I mean, it is unreal.
This guy played with everybody. He played with the whole world.
It is actually quite insane when you go through it like that. I mean, it's like even played with Balotelli.
Ricardo Carvalho.
I mean, Cristiano Zanetti. Oh, that's, sorry. I had the wrong Zanetti. I mean, it just does not stop.
Luis Bormorte. Like, what? Who didn't this guy play with?
I know, it's quite crazy. You actually have to double check because you go, no, that doesn't look right. So Quaresma's in there.
Hugo Viana.
Paulo Futre. I mean, it is insane.
Jordi Cruyff.
Sinisa Mihalovic.
Bro.
I mean, come on. I think we'll stop there. That, like I said, that's page 7. So we're starting to hit some of the humans now. But Figu, welcome to the goat farm. Do you think it's worthy?
Of course.
You think it's worthy?
Of course.
I mean, Senzo and I like just sitting here and listening.
Also, he made me buy a Total 90s.
Hey?
And I was a Predator guy, and that was prime David Beckham.
Dude, we didn't even get into the ads. The Nike Total. The Figu was front and center.
He was Nike's guy.
So those Nike ads, once they moved out of the Brazil, Jogo Bonito, and started going broader, Figu was front and center.
Mate.
They had him. So that is Figu. Welcome to the goat farm. Hey? Well,
thoroughly deserved.
Right. So he's not a nearly man.
No.
Or not an almost man. He's the man.
He's the guy.
Senzo, do you have a non-football story of the week lined up?
Yes.
All right. Let's play that stab and get into it. Senzo's non-football story of the week. Even though we did speak NBA, let's get into this.
So, SA Rugby, you remember we were talking about the them opening it up to private equity being allowed in SA Rugby. That's not happening anymore because they've cited a number of red flags.
Yep.
And they basically said, look, we are not, it's not worth it for us. It's really not worth it for us. So,
give some of the details there. So, I mean, I think it's quite disgusting what was offered.
So, where is it? They wanted to basically go global, for lack of a better term. So they wanted to sell to the Ackley Group. So the 1.3 billion rand private equity deal between SA Rugby and Seattle-based Ackley Sports Group looks set to crumble. So according to the... No, because it was opposition from SA's top rugby union. So according to news outlet, the deal, which would have seen Soru sell a 20% stake in commercial arm to ASG, is unlikely to proceed, right? Because they were like, look, for 20%, we're giving you a hell of a lot of control.
Of commercial.
Or commercial.
Now, in sports, that's where your money comes from.
Yeah. So now, it would have seen, where's this part of the article? It would have seen the Springboks being ultimately under that control. They would have seen half of like the naming rights, the licensing deals, TV broadcasting, like so advertising.
Those are your money spinners, right? Because you can only play so many games where you're generating revenue from the stadiums.
Yeah.
So that's where the unions make their money, right? Because they come to their stadiums, they play, they make their money. It was the unions that have stood up and said, no, this is a bullshit deal. It's not worth anything. If you give the naming rights of the Springboks, listen, suddenly, so Springboks license everything.
Yeah.
They must make quite a bit of money from licensing.
Yeah.
Plus your commercial deals. So everything that's coming in is going to them. Plus the big thing is the broadcast deals. That is the biggest thing is the broadcast deals. You're talking 1.3 billion.
And it was more of a loan than an investment.
So that's another thing that they flagged. They said, firstly, you're giving away a fucking massive brand.
Yeah.
And it's not even, and you're loaning, plus you're still going to take money out.
Yeah.
This has got fucking Glazer buying out Manchester United shit all over it. Right? Now, the group that bought it, you named some of the teams earlier.
So Leeds, they own Leeds. The Seattle Supersonics, which are now the Oklahoma City Thunder, when they're still in Seattle, obviously before they moved to Oklahoma, the 49ers?
I mean, come on. Like I said to you at the beginning of this, $75 million is 3 weeks of Patrick Mahomes' salary.
Yeah.
I mean, come basically. On, guys. Just take your deal and fuck off.
Basically. So, I don't know, man. That's also a private equity firm, and it's like they were... It was claiming that they will get effective control. So for 20%, they were going to have like seven oaks on the out of like 13 or 14 guys on Sorry's board.
What was the figure that the All Blacks did when they sold? Because they sold to Clear Lake, or no, it wasn't Clear Lake. Was it the other one?
It was Silver Lake.
Silver Lake, yeah.
They sold in 2022, 2 years ago, guys. Mm-hmm. New Zealand Rugby sold a 6% stake worth $133 million. But they retain control over the brand and the commercial side of things.
I mean, come on. Like, that's the benchmark, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the least.
Exactly.
That for 6% where they're giving us peanuts for 20.
But, like, what do you think the problem is? Like, with, because you touched on it last time that the Springboks are undervalued as a brand.
Hugely so. So now the thing is, these guys are going to go, they see that. Nobody's stupid.
Mm.
Everyone sees, holy shit, the potential here, the story, Sia. It's there's fucking gold. This is a gold mine here, right?
Mm-mm.
And they're setting up something. So they go, geez, we can buy into this brand for zero, nothing, right? And we're going to generate all the money out of it, okay? Because they'll build up the brand.
Of course.
The right people, they're going to put the right people in the room. They're going to build up this brand.
Of course.
Because I've long been irritated by all the Gear sponsors getting way more out of the Springboks and the Springboks skit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Banks and supermarket chains and fucking, you know.
Yeah. Cell phone companies.
They only win. The Springboks, okay, what they're giving is peanuts, man. Yeah. Even the Nike deal is an absolute mess.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Right? It's too, we sponsor by Nike. Okay, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Nike deals are a mess. There's only the real, real top tier make decent money out of Nike. You know, if that's a whole different conversation
altogether.
You want the fantastic podcast, Cash in Sports.
Yeah, Cash in Sports.
He covers it phenomenally well. I think Springboks need to have multinational sponsors, international sponsors, a tier of them. Yes, it's the Gears guys in.
Yeah.
But who gives a shit, right? Yeah. Get the big guys in and build the value. So now these guys have seen that.
Mm.
And that's what they're going to do. But guys, not at 75. Like, nobody's got a problem with you coming in and taking that. But at $75 million.
For what you earn. Honestly.
Come back when you crack 120, 130, then we start speaking again.
Then you know, you'll raise our eyebrows.
Do you know how? Because obviously the money, okay, it's going to go into development. It's going to go into making sure, because this is a big thing. You know, you're kind of seeing, when you're a dynasty, we've spoken about this before, your dynasty disappears very quickly.
Yeah.
So South Africa looks like it's, Springboks look like they're building a second generation. It's coming. But then what after that? You know, in development, in a country the size of ours, with infrastructure lacking like it is in a lot of parts, do you know how quickly $1.3 billion disappears? Do you know how quickly that goes away?
Yeah. Also, what Sorry was going to get out of it, they were going to only get out of this deal, team management, coaching, contracting, and competition management.
Nah, man. Well done to the unions for saying, get out of here. Get out of here.
But like, yeah, it's nothing. It's for nothing.
No. Back to the drawing board. Back to Seattle you go.
Yeah.
Pick up some Starbucks and don't come back.
Brother.
Until there's at least a zero at the end of one of those amounts.
Bro, they were gonna change the Springbok brand.
And make it bigger. Don't get me wrong. They're going to leverage it. There's no way they destroy it.
Yeah.
They fucking make it massive and only they score out of it. Only they score out of it.
Jeez,
we see you coming. We've seen you.
Yeah, no, but like...
We've seen you.
But it also speaks to, you know, it speaks to the bigger issue. The state of SA Rugby, like the suits. That place is a mess.
But listen, you also start chasing the money around the unions. There's some big boys behind there.
No, of course.
Clever boys. Yeah. No. Don't come here.
Think we can.
Maybe at Springbok level, don't come here to fucking our unions.
I mean, look at the Bulls. Who's at the Bulls? Those are like, you're joking.
And Stormers as well. Yeah. There's serious boys behind somewhere behind there. Maybe they're not
people
the face.
With deep, deep pockets.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, no, no, no. Don't bring that bullshit here, please.
Deep, deep pockets, bro.
Please. So anyway, well done. Well done to them for raising that. Working title FC, an hour and a half. Didn't even realize you got to that point.
Breaking stride, man.
Hey, man. But listen, if you haven't hit subscribe now. We're back every week. Senzo, what are you looking forward to? No major games, anything happening this week?
The SA Women's final, bro. They smashed Australia.
When's that happening? Tomorrow?
I think Sunday.
Sunday?
Sunday.
All right, so you'll be on top of that. Not me.
Yeah, no. You don't watch cricket.
Not a cricket fan. You call me a...
A pleb.
Okay, that's the word. That's a nicer word that you can say is working title FC. Hit subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend.